and something fascinating. And there are a lot of different ways to come to this conclusion, but Rav Shmuel had a very, very interesting way of coming to this conclusion. Rav Shmuel would emphasize that when he would say it this way, let's assume, he would say, and I think Baruch Hashem, for the group that's sitting around with me right now, this definitely applies to, let's assume you've grown a lot in the last month. And everybody here, Baruch Hashem, has grown a lot. And he said, how are your parents going to measure how much you grew? Parents are going to sit and they're going to see how you were able to compare Rashi to Tosas, how you read a Ramban. Most of your parents are not going to do that. He said, the way your parents are going to measure whether this man was a success is how you've improved as a person, how you've grown as a person, how you've changed as a person. And what does it mean to grow and change as a person? It means to become more and more of a given person. That's what it means to... So therefore, the simon of whether the ksais worked and whether finishing sukkah worked and whether you... and that you saw that in your bafina at the end of the year on sukkah, that you really had a lot to be proud of. I'm sure there are things you realize that you didn't know, but there are many, many things you realize that you are proud that you did know. The simon of whether it really went in is what type of giving person you are during the Bein HaZmani. So that means the most important thing, and Azriel told me this, that Rav Shore said it in his way, is his inimitable way, and that is that the most important thing really is what type of giving person you become, and that means practically taflis, it means helping out at home. Now, if you notice inside, now I get Atan Divrei Rabbo saying, now I'll get, my Rebbe didn't talk that much psychology, so that's for the new generation. Our weaker generation, we need to talk a little bit more psychology. My Rebbe, they just said it, and they expected that we were going to listen, and that was it. So, but in our generation, we have to understand ourselves a little more, because unfortunately, we don't do the right thing if we don't understand ourselves, and we don't understand why. We don't understand where it keeps us going. When I say this, something comes up inside of you, and you say to yourself, wow, I have a little bit of difficulty, you know, wanting to help out at home, then I want you to try to understand that a little bit more. I want you to try to understand yourselves. You know, if it's easier for you to help out, you know, if yeshiva says, go do chesed somewhere, and you jump and you do it, I heard that the Kohanim couldn't go to Shalva and to this and to that, right? So the guys are giving and doing, but you find that it's easy to be giving in Torah Shragah, but it's hard to be giving at home. So first of all, it is normal. There are many people that have that challenge. But second of all, you can't say enough that it's normal. It might be many people that have it, but that doesn't mean that it's right and it's good. We need to understand why it is that it's easier for you to do chesed somewhere else than it is to do chesed at home. And that's something that you should discuss with your rabbi if you find that as a challenge. Because it could be that's to do something with the relationship of your parents and your siblings, but it could also be about something more. It could also be about something that chesed is easy for you to do when you're outside, but when you're really in your own personal environment, chesed is harder for you to do. Now, if it's that, then it's bad news for your wife and kids. So what you wanted to start thinking about now, when I say bad news, I didn't say you're going to be an awful husband. What I said is that that's something that needs to be addressed, Mirtz Hashem, for your wife and children. Okay, that's in regards to probably the most important thing of the Bein HaZmani. According to Rav Shor, that's the only thing of the Bein HaZmani. But I'm not as sharp as Rav Shor, so I'll talk about other things as well. One of the most important things in life is consistency. Now, consistency doesn't mean perfection. Some people confuse perfection with consistency. Consistency means to try to come up with a schedule that your growth is going to be consistent. In other words, if you have a guy, one morning he wakes up at 6:30 and he downs it by 12:30 at lunchtime, he's already learned 6 hours, and but the next morning, you know, he's like, it's much later, and then he and every day is a different day, that's not going to be a successful Bein HaZman. What you want to come up with is a schedule that's a realistic schedule for the Bein HaZmanim. It's realistic where you are. Sometimes your chavrusa needs to do one thing and you need to do something else. You got to figure it. You got to sort of balance that out. But to want to come up with a plan that's realistic and consistent. Those would be the two words, realistic and consistent. And therefore, start a little bit, your expectations a little bit lower and add to your expectations versus starting with your expectation very, very high with the expectation, and don't compare it to yeshiva. That in yeshiva, that you had very, very high expectations to begius and they set the bar high. And because there you had lots of people to help you push through. Here it's going to be entirely yourself. So set the expectation a little bit lower and then go for achieving that expectation, not perfect, but successful. Successful and consistent. What did I say? There was a different word I said. Consistent and? Realistic and consistent. Hit the realistic, and then add on it. So what you might want to do is say, you know what? Realistic is that during the morning I'll do this, and I'll help with my parents with this, and then at night I'll do this. And if that's going really, really well, then I'd like to add this. But don't add this until you hit that success. Success breeds success. So what you want to do is set yourself up for feeling successful. The idea of setting the bar very high, even that when you go to yeshiva, that there are rabbeim that could pull out more from you that you didn't know that you could pull out. But if you're starting out in your first real Bein HaZman as a real Bein HaYeshiva, start with consistent to realistic, even the bar a little low, with the goal of getting to a place where you'll be able to add this, and then in Yirtzeh Hashem, you'll be Matzliach on that front. Questions, thoughts? Yeah.
What is a good starter limud for at least everyone in this room that you would say people should try to stick to?
Right. So there's nothing greater in the Bein HaZman than cementing what you learned during the Zman. Obviously, you can't in 4 weeks cement that what you've learned, everything in 6 months or 7 months. But what you could, what you want to do is do chazar. By both sides, the mind-boggling Gemara. What's the mind-boggling Gemara? The mind-boggling Gemara. This is an important discussion, I just realized. What's this the mind-boggling Gemara? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that someone who doesn't do chazara is like someone who's zoreya veina koitzer. Someone who plants but doesn't cut. So I have a tzarafiyun. I'm not the first one who have this tzarafiyun. Is it a coincidence, the metaphor? What is the Gemara? Let's pashat chat. What's pashat chat in the Gemara? The pashat chat in the Gemara is that if you don't do chazara, it's like you're not going to cut off the fruits. So chazara is very, very, very important. But Bale Machshava pointed out something deeper. What's easier to do? Cutting off the fruits? Or outside, they're turning over the land. Dingy, you have to turn over the land. You plow, and then and you have to see, and then if it's an area where there isn't rainwater, so then what you have to do is you have to irrigate the field, and you have to make sure that the plant is not getting enough sun, is not getting too much sun, and must make sure that it's getting enough sun, all those things. Then once the lab cleaned after all that hard work, you have to go into the field to pick it off. What's easier, Zoreya or Kotzer? Kotzer. Chazara really is the easiest part. But for some reason, the Yetzirah makes it very, very hard. And I'm singing to myself also. So the metaphor is not just stop that you don't get the learning. But the metaphor is that you worked so hard. Now is the time to cut off the fruits. Do Chazara, you're cutting off the fruits. So that's out. You want to find parts where you're cutting off the fruits from your learning. Number two is in Yad of the Yom, is that you get Shiurim on Pesach, choose a topic for Pesach that you want to learn. That's number two. Haggadah, prepare yourself for the Seder. Again, same rule. It's not the most brilliant Dvar Torah that you're going to say that will necessarily be appreciated at the Seder. It's something that's relevant and shows care and concern for the other people that are with you at the Seder. And then number three is for your limud is to continue getting into a rhythm of making sure that you're doing Chumash and Rashi to make sure that you're learning Tanakh. Meir Rabin of Nemunsal learns Tanakh twice a year from Adar into Nisan for 40 days, out 40 days of Kabbalah Satorah, and then Elul into, and he knows Tanakh cold, but that's his system. He has some type of tradition or some type of approach where he holds it, and could be kind of Tanakh in 40 days, and he does it two times. One from Adar into Nisan during that's what he does when he takes off his tefillin on Purim. He learns Tanakh, and then during Elul going into Yom HaKippur from Elul to 40 days. And Rav Nemzal points out, Beit HaZmanin is a time that people forget, people who are learning less Tanakh can learn Tanakh then. But it applies to all other limudim as well. Back to the rhythm, that you should start having the rhythm of the Chumash Rashi, some type of rhythm in Tanakh, rhythm in Mishnayos, Mirtz Hashem get a little bit older, rhythm in Daf Yomi, in Gemara, the things that what Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal called his Kleilut, right? And he's like, men know the blade sword of Pipe and Yes, and my foot. And if you know, raise your hand and stop me. Everybody here doesn't know, Chaim Kanievsky, was sitting with his mafutin, and he said, "Oi, after this wedding, I'm so behind in my chayvus." So in the mafutin thought that Chaim is complaining that he has so much money to pay for the wedding. He said, "No worry, I'll change the terms of the deal, how much money we said that each side was going to pay. I don't want someone's going to feature Gedol Hador that I should be the cause of, and we worry about money." So Rapatin said, no, I don't mean those fellows. He said, "I had the wedding last night and Shev Brachas tonight." And Rapatin used to learn so much every day. He said, "I fell behind my fellows and learned 7.5 Daptim and Rafuli Dua, Yerushalmi, and so forth." So there's, obviously, a person has to be realistic about what their cholos are, have to be healthy cholos. But each person, and even one possible Rashi, even a 3 psukim in Tanakh, even a half a Mishnah, those are great cholos for a person to have to get into a daily rhythm. Mirtz Hashem, eventually that will grow, the 7.5 Thapten a day in Mirtz Hashem. Mirtz Hashem by all of us, by me too, Halavai. But to start, for a person to build in terms of his kolos in a healthy, measured way. Tof? Yeah, follow up? Yeah?
Going and fight her in the season.
Absolutely. In other words, look, you know that I feel passionately that the most important part of Talmud Torah is Amelus Vatorah, which is Iyun HaTorah. So all the Chovos, the Bikias and so on, is all there to be able to give you the appropriate perspective to be Amel in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. So yes, pick Sugyas to do B'Iyun for sure. And then you have to figure out how. Are you going to do B'Iyun? Are you going to listen to a recorded shiur? Are you just going to do it on your own? You could do Gemara Rashi Tosis, Rush and Ran, and learn that, and then have a Masifta Gemara to look up the appropriate shitos and so on and so forth. For sure, if you're able to put into... But remember, what I was saying was that your parents are not going to necessarily appreciate that, but for yourself and your growth, the sky is the limit, and you should never stop learning B'Iyun. That's one of the things that in Pistiach Nishmai I push in my shul, is that... And Baruch Hashem, we're slowly doing it, that Balabatim, people who are working for a living, could also become big Talmid Chacham. They still need people who are sitting and learning Kol Yom V'Laila, people who are Magid and Shirim, people who are Rabbeim, and the community has to support them, etc., etc. But there's no reason why Rabbi Nachman Zemba, that Theta Tad Kosh Rafa, who was Gaon Olam, was a store owner. He only took a Rabbanus much later in his life. My son's name is named for him. So there's no question that in the time of Chazal, we had Tanoim and Abaroim who had sort of different trades. They weren't only Rosh Yeshiva. There were some who were of the Tanoim and Abaroim or Rosh Yeshiva, but some of them were working men. And so a person could be a working man and be a very big Hal Mefakel as well. So and the only way you're going to do that as a working man is if you continue learning Tegilah. You can't just simply learn superficially, because superficially becomes mitzvah sanoshim milumada. And there are some things that you should learn superficially, but at the end of the day, there needs to be something that when you wake up in the night and you're thinking about whether I should watch a movie or what can I do, that there's a certain kasha that you're bothered by. That's a certain kasha that you brought me. They told me that there was a gadol b'Torah that as roommate said that he woke, that he asked him, "Do you remember what happened last night?" He said, "No." He said, "You realize you didn't sleep through the night?" And the Rav said, "No, I thought, what do you thought, man?" He said, "You should know. You woke up in the middle of the night. You went over to your Gemara. You looked in the light in your Gemara and checked a few lines, and then you went back to sleep. Your mom was in his sleep. His mom was sleeping." It's a gadol b'Torah that you know, but I don't know for sure the story, as I don't. My wife told me that when we got married, my wife said that I used to speak in learning during my sleep, and she says lately I have a slacking. She said, "Here we talk to you, not my learning anymore." So talking in so that the goal should be halavaya be on that madrega that I always chose the right thing to do. But the point is that when you learn be'iyun, then there's something that's always, you're always working on something. That even, you know, like what's on your mind on the sugya? So if you were just doing, and today you did your chov, you did the rak from Rashi, so it might have been something that knows a Rashi. It might be something that, you know, didn't do. But if you're learning bi'iyun, then there's always something that you're stuck on. What's the machlokas Rashi and Tosas? How would Rashi be miyashiv Tosas is kasha? Those are something that whenever you're in a pinch, that you always have something to come back to. You always have something good to dream about when you're learning bi'iyun. That's something that's important. Okay, so these are some important points. We should continue sometime, but at least now this is a start. With pleasure.